few years ago, I met a young woman at work. She was new to town, and I wanted to get to know her more. And the more I did get to know her, I could tell that she was lonely. She wanted to find some meaningful relationships in town. And so I did get to know her further and found out that she had struggled with some mental health issues. She had even contemplated suicide a couple of times. I was burdened by that. I felt like she needed to probably plug into a church, find some folks who could also kind of surround her and be a support system to her. I also knew that that church needed to welcome diversity, be engaging, and be relevant to her. So I had a neighbor and I had some pretty close friends who attended Newark, and I kind of felt like it might just be the right place for her, and I agreed to visit with her. That day we left completely filled up. I went home. I was so excited about my visit, and I told Mike, I said, we've got to get back there.
So roughly about 3 years later, Leanne and I and our girls decided to give Newark a try. Even though Leanne had told me several things about Newark and how excited she was, I really didn't know what to expect the first time I came. We came into the front doors. We were greeted by people that were really glad and excited that we were here. Really made us feel welcome, made us feel like we were at home. We moved into the worship center. Again, we were greeted by folks who made us feel like we were welcome, feel like we were at home. The worship service started. I mean, you could just instantly feel the spirit in the building. People were excited, people were having fun, people were smiling, people were singing at the top of their lungs. If you flash back to that initial visit, the whole time during worship service, I was just amazed. I couldn't help but think, wow, I didn't know church could be this way.
I didn't know church could be this way. What a great descriptor for the church. I love that. Today we're in this new series, Church All Out. And there is no subject that I love to preach more than the vision of the church. Well, maybe generosity. I love to preach generosity too, but I love to talk about the church because I'm convinced it's the most amazing thing in the world. It is the work of Jesus Christ. He said so himself when he was talking to the disciples and to Simon Peter. He said this, "Upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." I will build my church. I love that. Do you know that's the very first time that the word church is used in all of the Bible? In fact, that's the first time the word exists in human history. The church is uniquely the work of Jesus. I will build my church. I mean, you would almost expect in that passage in Matthew chapter 16 to read that and hear the disciples say, excuse me, what exactly is church? I mean, Abraham never spoke the word church. Moses never commanded church. The prophets never preached church. What is a church? It's amazing to me. Jesus declared that he was going to build this all-inclusive community of love that would not just tolerate, but would embrace every gender, every ethnicity, every race, every nationality, every culture, every language, every status. The church would be the institution that would break down all the dividing walls, both slave and free, Jews and Gentiles, rich and poor, male and female, Romans and barbarians, a community that would have at its core not the purpose of somehow enriching its own, but sacrificing and giving and enriching and proclaiming and the hope and the help of those who were not yet a part of it. It would be a family where the knowledge of God and the salvation of God would be proclaimed to all, where justice would be pursued for all, where generosity and forgiveness would be extended to all, and all of this would be done within a spirit of gentleness and humility and kindness. My, oh my, how our world could use a big old dose of church right now. I mean, do you understand? It's so easy for us to take it for granted. But nothing like this ever existed before. Jesus thought it all up. I mean, to me, that is amazing. Think of it like this. Say you are a penniless carpenter who lived 2,000 years ago, and your task is to create a movement that would live on for thousands of years, would launch more hospitals, more research universities, more orphan care, more relief organizations, and inspire more art than anything else in all of human history. And that it would spread to every continent, that it would permeate every culture, that it would attract billions of followers, and not only still exist 2,000 years later, but still be growing 2,000 years later. What would you do? What would your first step be? I'll tell you what Jesus did. He said, I will build my church. And that, my friends, is a picture of church all out. So open your Bibles with me today to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2. We're going to begin reading in verse 1 there in just a moment. And as you turn there, let me introduce myself to those of you who may not have been here before or know me. My name's Kevin Lee. I'm one of the pastors here. And I would love to meet you in the commons after this service if we've not yet met face to face. Now, we're going to be looking at all of chapter 2, but don't panic. I'm not going to read all of chapter 2. You're going to read all of chapter 2 later today. I believe you really will, because this is a picture of a church that is absolutely amazing. It is a church that is all out. And I think when you read all of Acts chapter 2 later today in the privacy of your home, you'll read it and you could get to the end of that chapter and you'll say, I didn't know church could be like that. Follow along with me as I read. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 1. It says, on the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place, and suddenly there was a sound from heaven like a roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them this ability. At that time, there were devout Jews from every nation living in Jerusalem. And when they heard the loud noise, everyone came running, and they were bewildered to hear their own languages being spoken by the believers. They were completely amazed. How can this be? They exclaimed. These people are all from Galilee, and yet we hear them speaking in our own native languages. Here we are, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, people from Mesopotamia, Judea, Cappadocia, Pontus, the province of Asia, Phrygia, Pamphylia, Egypt, and the areas of Libya around Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs, and we all hear these people speaking in our own languages about the wonderful things God has done. They stood there amazed and perplexed. What can this mean? They asked each other. Do you see that phrase, amazed and perplexed? That's it. That's where in their hearts they were declaring, I didn't know church could be like this. So I ask you today, is that how you have experienced church in your life? Maybe, maybe not. Sometimes maybe bored out of your mind, but amazed and perplexed. Those words mean to be thrown into wonderment, to be dumbfounded, to be speechless. Is that your experience of church? Not always, for sure. Now, you need to understand what's going on here. Typically, we describe this chapter in the book of Acts as the coming of the Holy Spirit. In fact, my Bible even uses that header. It says the Holy Spirit comes. almost like, you know, the Holy Spirit was somehow AWOL before this, but now he finally shows up. But that's not actually right. That's not actually what's going on. The Holy Spirit is evident and active all throughout the Scriptures. So what you see happening here is the Holy Spirit filling his church, and that changes everything. This isn't so much the coming of the Holy Spirit as this is the birth of the church. This is what Jesus said he would do. He said, I will build my church. And this is a picture of a church that is all out. So what does it take for the church to be all out? Well, first thing is this. His church is spiritually alive. His church is spiritually alive. Passages like Acts chapter 2 awaken a lot of questions for us. We can read that and we wonder, what all is going on here? What exactly is transpiring in this story? I mean, you have people speaking different languages. You have this roaring windstorm. You have these tongues of fire. I mean, let's be honest, that's some freaky stuff if you were at a place and you experienced all of that. It is beyond explanation. And that's the point of it all. It is beyond human explanation. It isn't subject to human explanation. This is not normal. This is not physically explainable. This is supernatural. This is a spiritual power that is at work in the church that can only be described as a God thing. You see, it's easy for us to get all entangled in the what happened at Pentecost, and we miss the more important question of, so what does this mean for us? You see, essentially, we need to remember that the church, from its very conception, isn't a human institution or a human organization. It is a God creation. It is a spiritual movement empowered by God himself. And the symbolism of that is so evident in this passage that we read. Notice that mighty wind and those flashing flames, those are God's signs. They are signs that point to God from the very beginning and throughout Scripture. For example, take wind. God always shows up in wind. In fact, you can see it in the very first story. In Genesis, Adam, Genesis says this, and God breathed into Adam the breath of life. And by the word, in the Hebrew, that word breath or breathe is the exact same word as wind. Or in Noah's story, after the storm, when it all came to a conclusion, the Bible says that God made the wind to blow upon the waters. God is present. Moses stood before the Red Sea when the Egyptian army was closing in and it entrapped the people of Israel. And all night long, it says that God caused a great wind to blow, and then the people walked through in dry ground on the Red Sea. Listen, when the wind of God blows, the people of God will move. Ezekiel the prophet stood in a battleground graveyard, a valley of dry bones, and when the wind of God blew, the people were resurrected into an army. When Jesus was with his disciples, and they were afraid all night long in a great and terrible storm on the Sea of Galilee, they cried out in fear, and Jesus commands the wind and the storm to be still. Do you see it? The Holy Spirit of God is still the blowing wind of the church. How else can you explain the impact of the church 2,000 years later? I mean, how is it that you yourself here in this room 2,000 years later have found and declared that Jesus Christ is Lord of your life? How is that possible? It is the spiritually alive power of the Holy Spirit of God within his church that remains to this day at work. But not just the wind. There was also the fire. Likewise, fire symbolizes the power and the presence of God. Hebrews 12:29 says this, our God is a consuming fire. John the Baptizer said of Jesus, I baptize with water, but someone soon is coming who is greater than I am, and he will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. But long before that, long before that, God showed up in the fire. All the way back in the story of Abraham, Abraham watched God walk the pieces of the covenant when God showed up as a fire pot and a flaming torch, and the covenant was established forever. Moses met God where? In a burning bush. The children of Israel were led at night through the wilderness by what? A pillar of fire. And even at the temple, the place where God chose to dwell in his presence among his people, they were instructed to never let the fire of the altar go out. Why? Because God was always present with his people. He was always there, even as God is always still with us. And don't forget those stories like Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego thrown into a fiery furnace, which should have told us that's the end of them, right? But at the end of the story, they look in, and what do they see? They see four people walking around in the fire, the three individuals, but then there is one who is described. He looked like the Son of God. What you need to grasp in this passage is that there is not a human explanation of what happened here, but recognize this. When God is present, when God is with you, supernatural, spiritually remarkable events take place, and it is still true to this very day. And don't miss this. In verse 4, did you catch what it said? In verse 4, it said this, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages as the Holy Spirit gave them the ability. In your Bible, I hope you would underline or circle that word, everyone. Listen, when God gets in you, God changes you. He always does. He always does. And that's what you see happening here. And you need to move with him. You need to go forward with him. And notice it says, then they began speaking. Listen, when God's Spirit leads, you follow. That's true for the individual. That's true for the church. You got to follow his prompting and his lead. Let me see if I can explain it this way. Just recently, I just bought a truck. I have wanted a truck since 1995, and the time was finally right. So I shopped, and I shopped, and I shopped, and I found what I wanted. And what I wanted, I've told several people this, what I wanted was what I call an old man's truck. And what I mean by that is I wanted to have all of the conveniences and all of the comforts that an old man would want. Now, I know what you're thinking, but Kevin, you're not an old man. I know, but I'm working on it. I'm getting there, and I keep vehicles a long, long time. And so I wanted an old man's truck. And one of the options that came with this thing that I really love, it's called Lane Assist. Have you ever heard of this thing before? Lane Assist, it's the greatest thing. I love it. If I tend to drift a little bit in the lane, the truck will actually warn me. If I by chance change lanes without turning on a signal, it's the craziest thing. The truck will actually kind of growl at me. You know, the steering wheel shakes a little bit. And it will even nudge me. The steering wheel will even nudge me a little bit if I'm drifting along. It's called Lane Assist. Now, I never had a car with Lane Assist accessories before. I mean, the truth is I've always had Lane Assist, but not built into the car. The previous Lane Assist that I had is called Diana, and she was great, absolutely, but I love this. Listen, the Holy Spirit is the Lane Assist for the believer and for the church. He's the one that says, move this way, move that way. And you got to be sensitive to the nudges that he gives you in the right direction. He prompts us forward. He empowers us to do more than we could ever imagine. So we move with God, and he guides us and he empowers us. Listen, the church is never about us. It is about God's glory and his kingdom and his purpose. But that's just the beginning. That's just the beginning of what a church all out looks like. Not only is it spiritually alive, his church is biblically serious. Listen, sometimes it's really easy to focus so much on the Spirit and being led by the Spirit that we can begin to think that what that means is it's all based on feelings. And we get really kind of loosey-goosey in what it means to follow Jesus. I've heard people say, oh, you know, Jesus and me, we're good. It's a way of saying, you know, I feel this way, and therefore that must be God's blessing. That must be God's acceptance. That must be God's embrace. But listen, being spiritually alive has to be a whole lot more than just feelings or promptings. We are to be rooted in God's word. Because God's word is the fullest revelation of God himself. You see, there's a real danger if I trust my feelings. I'm easily deceived. That's why the Bible tells us in Jeremiah 17:9, the human heart is the most deceitful of all things and desperately wicked. Who really knows how bad it is? I can't trust my feelings. I can't trust my heart. My heart will lead me astray, and you too. You too. You know, you've heard it said, haven't you? The heart wants what the heart wants. You're right. It does. And it will lead you astray. God wants more for you than what the heart wants. And the wise heart always leans in to the revealed word of what God wants. We have to be biblically serious. And the church that Jesus builds will always be firmly rooted in the truth of God's full biblical revelation. You and I, we need God's word. And let me tell you, I know I'm kind of old-fashioned. I brought something with me today. I think you still need a Bible with pages in it. I really do. And like I said, I know I'm old-fashioned. And listen, I'm all about the app, too. I use it all the time. But let me tell you something that a Bible with pages will do that app will not do. This is my preaching Bible. I use this one on Sundays. But this is my chair time Bible, and I read in it almost every day. And as I'm reading in my chair time Bible, I'm always finding little places where I can write little notes or underline insights, and as I go along, I'll just find all kinds of those places and will write different things that I discover at different times, and it's really helpful to me. But let me tell you about this Bible. This Bible is not for me. There's a day that's coming. It may be soon. It may be not so soon, but one day I'm going to die, and I call this my legacy Bible, and my goal is, before I die, if the Lord gives me time, I want to leave behind a bunch of legacy Bibles filled with my notes, my insights, scriptures that jumped off the page at me, so that I can gift one of these to every grandchild. Let me see you do that with your app. You need to be in God's word So God's word can get in you. We are to be biblically serious. And you see that is the very first thing that happens in this story in Acts. In fact, let's keep reading. Down in Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 16, I want you to listen to what Peter says. Peter's preaching, and he says to them, as he's explaining what's going on, he says, "No, what you see was predicted long ago by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my Spirit on all people. Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see vision. Your old men will dream dreams. In those days, I'm going to pour out my Spirit even on my servants, and men and women alike, they will prophesy." Peter says, you want to know what's going on? Get in your Bible. This is right out of the book of Joel. And then he jumps over to the book of Psalms down in verse 25. He says, King David said this about him: "I see that the Lord is always with me. I will not be shaken, for he is right beside me. No wonder my heart is glad and my tongue shouts his praises. My body rests in hope, for you will not leave my soul among the dead or allow your holy ones to rot in the grave. You have shown me the way of life and you will fill me with the joy of your presence." You see what Peter is doing? Peter is walking through the Old Testament, and he is showing and explaining to them how all of the Bible is pointing to Jesus, and it does. As Jesus followers, we must be a biblically serious community. Not only knowing the Word, but living the Word. What God's Word says about how to wisely manage money is how I am supposed to live. What God's Word says about how to wisely manage sexuality is how I am supposed to live. What God's Word says about how I am to love my spouse or lead my family or love my neighbor or work with integrity, that is how I am to live. We are to be a church that is biblically serious. God's Word is the truth for life. And it ought to convict us. Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is alive and powerful. It's sharper than the sharpest two-edged sword, cutting between soul and spirit, between joint and marrow. It exposes our innermost thoughts and desires." And it does. It does. At Pentecost, listen to how the people responded in verse 37. Peter's words pierced their hearts. Why? Because they weren't Peter's words. They were the Word of God. They were the Scriptures. It pierced their hearts, and they said to him and to the other apostles, "Brothers, what should we do?" And he told them, "You got to come to Jesus. You got to repent of your sins. You need to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Because when the Word of God, which is the revelation of Jesus, fills you through the Holy Spirit of God, you become a new person. Spiritually alive, biblically serious, and then this, number three, his church is community blessing. As this chapter concludes, we come to one of my very favorite passages about the church. This stirs my heart. This is what I live for. Acts chapter 2, beginning with verse 41. Listen to this. "And those who believed what Peter said were baptized and added to the church that day about 3,000 in all. And all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper, and to prayer. And a deep sense of awe came over them all. And the apostles performed many miraculous signs and wonders. And all the believers met together in one place and shared everything they had. And they sold their property and possessions and shared the money with those in need. They worshiped together at the temple each day, met in homes for the Lord's Supper, and shared their meals with great joy and generosity, all the while praising God and enjoying the goodwill of all the people. And each day the Lord added to their fellowship those who were being saved." Wow. I didn't know church could be that way. Isn't that amazing? And on it goes. Turn the page and you come to Acts chapter 4, and it says that there were no needy people among them. That's miraculous. I remember one time I read that and I thought, yeah, yeah, no needy people among them. Well, that's not such an amazing thing. There are only about 120 people. I mean, you read that in Acts chapter 1. But did you hear what it said in verse 41? Those who believed Peter and were baptized were added to that church, about 3,000 people. 3,000 people, and every day that number was continuing to increase. Listen, when you have 3,000 people, that's enough people to impact an entire city. And they were a blessing to the entire city. And listen, that has happened through the church, down through the history of the church, generation after generation, place after place. You see, we are empowered by the Spirit of God and equipped through the Word of God in order to be the blessing of God in the community all around us. That is the fun of the church. And let me tell you, New Work Fellowship, you never look more like the people of God than when you lean in to the call to be a blessing in our community. And we see it happening over and over again, like when you spent over $16,000 back in January at Out of the Box in order to bless the hungry of Hopkinsville. Do you even remember that? And then immediately when that was over, tornadoes destroyed areas of Nashville. And right on the heels of that, you stepped up and you did Out of the Box for tornado relief. And listen, there are a lot of things. There are a lot of things I hate about this COVID crazy world. But wow, during this maddening season, it has brought out the best in you as a church. During the last 3 months, New Work Fellowship and small groups have partnered to bless. Listen to this list. Grace and Mercy, YMCA Feeding Program, Pink Ribbon Network, Christian County Sheriff Department, Hopkinsville Police Department, Redeemed and Restored, Salvation Army, Malachi Dad, Sanctuary House, Trilogy Center, Boys and Girls Club, Dinner Church, Farmers to Food Banks, Jenny Stewart Medical Center Nurses, South Christian Elementary, Western State Hospital Employees, Aaron McNeil House, and I am sure I have missed others. You have blessed specifically our first responders and law enforcement officers. We have blessed the community by investing over $35,800 specifically in the last 3 months. And beginning this past week, Janie mentioned it earlier, as school began and educators are stressed, you blessed over 800 educators throughout this entire community. And let me tell you, we're not done. There's more that's happening that I can't tell you about yet, that we're going to be a blessing to the community. And listen, today is yet another opportunity. It's another opportunity. Because today is Out of the Box Day. Now, if you're not familiar with what that means, watch this video.
Here at New Work Fellowship, we strive to be a church that people look at and think, I didn't know church could be this way. We have so many programs that do things differently than what you would expect from a church. The one we want to highlight today is Out of the Box. Out of the Box began in January 2008. We wanted our church members to be involved in a hands-on, tangible ministry activity. With food pantries being historically sparse that time of year, we wanted to challenge everyone to try something different. So, instead of a sermon with notes in the worship program, they found a shopping list. Instead of talking about hunger, we decided we would do something about it. We partnered with a local grocery store. They put items on sale and had extra cashiers on hand. And we flooded the store with people wanting to make a difference here in Hopkinsville. The response was overwhelming. It's only continued to grow since then. Whether it's helping to fill the shelves in food pantries or the backpacks of area students, we are simply following the example set by the apostles in Acts to give everyone as they have need. Out of the Box continues today, 12 years later, and benefits so many different people and organizations. But the mission is always the same, using what we have to to help those in our community and surrounding areas who may not be as fortunate, always giving honor and glory to God. This is what it truly means to be a church.
Now, COVID requires some changes in how we'll do this, but even COVID does not have the power to change what we do as a church. We're going to be blessing families and teachers in our educational community by gathering school supplies and the backpack feeding program supplies. And the pressure our educators and families are feeling right now makes this a unique opportunity for us as a church to bless them like never before. Now, Janie's going to share the details of how we'll do out of the box in a little bit, but let me just give you a real quick overview. Instead of just having 1 hour and all of us overwhelming a store, you're going to have a whole week to do this. We have partnered with both of the Walmarts in town, and through them, many of the needs that are on the list that you will access will be at a 10% discount. Instead of leaving those products at the stores, we're going to ask you to bring the supplies back here to the common. And we're going to have the doors open throughout the week where you can come in and just put those in the appropriate boxes. Listen, this is who we've been called to be. We are to be a community blessing. Don't you want to be a part of a church like that? Don't you want to be a part of that kind of movement? Listen, it begins with Jesus. You got to let him in. And let him change you from the inside out. Let him be your Lord. Like Peter preached at Pentecost, you repent of your sins, you turn to God, you invite Jesus Christ in, and you are filled with the Holy Spirit. But it also requires you to be a part of the community. You need to get connected. You need to be committed. You need to join the local church. Next week is our intro class. That is our membership class. We want to encourage you to sign up. Be a part of what Jesus Christ is building right here, right now. And thirdly, you need to pray for it. If you want to be that kind of a church, you've got to pray for it. Let me ask you, do you pray for your church? Do you pray for this church? Listen, some time ago, I became convicted that I need to pray for this kind of church to be the kind of church that we are every day. This verse just still gets me. Verse 42, and all the believers devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to fellowship and to sharing meals, including the Lord's Supper and prayer. What a beautiful picture of the church. Some time ago, I was convicted that I need to pray for that every day. And listen, my watch will vibrate every day now at 2:42 to remind me I need to be praying for that kind of a church to become who we at New Work Fellowship will be. That's the kind of church. I want to invite you to join me. Set an alarm. Put it on your calendar at 2:42 every day to pray for that. What if we prayed for that kind of church? What if we gave so that we could be that kind of church? What if we gave our lives to see that? Listen, you need to understand. Others have come before us. Others will come after us. But right now, it's our time. It's our moment. It's our church. So let's be a church that goes all out. But don't miss this. To go all out, you got to be all in. And so this is our final thought. To be all in, we need to be all in so we can go all out. Will you pray with me? God, we thank you for the church. We thank you that there has never been anything like it in all the world. We thank you for the dream that you have for the church. We thank you for the movement. Thank you for the empowering presence of your Spirit. And may we indeed be all in so that we can go all out for you. May we be the kind of church that you've called us to be. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.